books, including the book Feminist Fantasies that reveals the feminist influence on the media, on college campuses, and writing in children's classrooms. Now here's the president of Eagle Forum, Phyllis Schlafly.
It's important for parents to monitor what public schools are teaching their children and also what the schools are not teaching. If you want your children to grow up to be patriotic citizens, they must be taught American history as it really happened, not as the liberals wish it had happened. It's become pretty clear that the liberals would like to wipe out our religious heritage and pretend we've always been a very secular nation. Today's schools seem to be more concerned with teaching our kids a philosophy of political correctness, diversity, multiculturalism, and feminism. One way to teach the truth about our heritage and dispel false myths is to take a trip to Washington, D.C. and read the many religious inscriptions that are engraved in stone on our famous monuments. Another way is to honor our nation's birthday today, the 4th of July, by reading and rereading the Declaration of Independence. As you read the Declaration of Independence on this 4th of July, reflect on the fact that it is America's great religious document, the official affirmation by the American people of their belief and faith in God. The Declaration affirms God's existence as a self-evident truth that requires no further discussion or debate. The nation created by the Great Declaration is God's country. The rights it defines are God-given. The actions of its signers were God-inspired. Many of the men who signed the Declaration paid for their courage with their lives and fortunes, and that's why we are able to enjoy our freedom and independence today. The Declaration contains 5 references to God. God as supreme lawmaker, God as creator of all men, God as the source of all rights, God as the world's supreme judge, and God as our protector on whom we can rely.
Surveys show liberal professors outnumber conservative professors on college campuses by 10 to 1. At the Eagle Forum Collegian Summit in Washington, D.C. on July 18 and 19, outstanding conservative leaders will equip students with moral and intellectual defenses to challenge left-wing ideology. The conference is free to students who register in advance at eagleforum.org. That's eagleforum.org. And join us again for the Phyllis Schlafly Report.
World-renowned physician and stem cell expert Dr. David Steinblock, D.O., and his research staff have spent years developing all-natural formulations that support the body's own stem cell production and mobilization system. An everyday stem cell supplement, creating the birth of Stemgevity. Stemgevity stem cell mobilization formula is for use by men, women, and children of all ages to support your body's stem cell system naturally, quickly, and safely. Stemgevity helps support your heart and circulatory system, bones and joints, liver, skin, brain, and much more. Order your bottle now at Stemgevity.com today. That's Stemgevity, Stemgevity.com. Or call now toll-free, 800-300-1063. Buy 2 bottles and receive a 3rd bottle free by mentioning RBN. Anyone who wants to get healthy needs Stemgevity. Call 800-300-1063 today.
Hi, I'm with Keller Williams Realty. I'm in your neighborhood to see if you have any real estate needs.
Maybe. What would you do as a realtor to market my home?
Well, my skills are in knowing the market, listing your home for the best price possible, negotiating on your behalf, advertising your home, and helping to defend your castle.
Defend my castle?
That's right. In Texas, it's called the Castle Law, and a portion of my commission will go to Gun Owners of America as a charitable cause to help secure our freedoms.
Really? That does make you different from other realtors.
It's about time people make a stand for what they believe in. Wouldn't you agree?
Well, yes, I do. And I'd be glad if you helped me sell this home. And my friends will be, too.
Here's my business card for your friends. They can call me at 877-605-9200 and ask for Sandra. Oh, and if they're not in Texas, I can still refer them to a great Keller Williams agent where they live. They just need to call 877-605-9200. 877-605-9200.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Everyone around me seems to get sick but me. My brother got the flu twice. My mother was down with some sort of fever. People at work were taking sick days off, and others were just plain tired and run down. And me? Well, I just keep feeling great all the time with Extendivite. My grandfather used to talk about the power of garlic and other herbs he took that kept him healthy. I'm lucky. Extendivite was just what I needed to keep me healthy, and Extendivite is all natural. Extendivite was designed for the heart but does so much more by keeping me healthy all the time. I'll take Extendivite forever. Get your 2-month supply for only $69.95 plus shipping and handling. My name is Rick, and you can be like me just by calling 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
This is The Stateless Man for the pursuit of individual liberty. Beyond arbitrary borders, oppressive governments, and myths of national obligations. If you value liberty and are willing to migrate and vote with your feet, you've come to the right place.
Pembroke Pines, Florida, and I want to say thanks for tuning in. It's a beautiful day here when we're pursuing liberty beyond borders. It's my pleasure to be with you. We have a dynamite lineup, incredible, all full block of guests today. We've got Axel Kaiser speaking about Chile as an expat in Liberty Haven, and then we'll have Joel Hurst. He's the author of The Lieutenant of San Porfirio, a novel about Venezuela and the very unfortunate predicament down there. Rob Nadelson in the second hour will join us. He's from the Independence Institute and perhaps is the leading scholar regarding Article 5 Amendments Conventions, or the Article 5 Amendments Convention in the United States, about, you could say, an addressing of the shortcomings of the constitutional limitations that have got us to this point. He's written with ALEC and many other outlets, the Independence Institute. So he will be an expert to call. And then finally, I have Walter Block, an old friend from New Orleans. He's not from New Orleans originally. He's originally from New York, but he is a professor leading the economics program at Loyola University in New Orleans. I got to know him when I was a reporter and editor down there. We're going to be discussing his free market economics program, the Ludwig von Mises Institute, and the future of higher education. So you don't want to miss any of that. If you want to call in, as always, I'm glad to have guests. I have people calling in with questions or comments. The number is 1-800-313-9443. Now, Axel Kaiser, he's actually based in Germany right now, but he has started an organization in Chile, and that is the Fundación para el Progreso, or the Foundation for Progress in Chile. And I wanted to bring him on because many of us looked at Chile. It's, you could say, an ambiguity or an outlier within South and Latin America. And that is to say that it is relatively more economically free than elsewhere. And it makes the top 10, according to various lists, of the world for economic freedom. However, the way that it became economically free is a little bit like what happened in New Zealand. It wasn't necessarily by the will of the people. It was somewhat of an historical accident. And because the people didn't just wake up believing in economic freedom, since that time, since the 80s, under the Pinochet regime, dictatorship, I'm not sure the best term for that one, there's been a backpedaling, and in a very significant manner, particularly recently. The new government includes within its coalition outright or unabashed communists. That does not sound good to me. And I don't claim to be an expert on Chile, but I wanted to bring Axel on to explain this. And his article on the matter before this latest election, he wrote an article in Forbes, in which we republished on the Canal blog of the Pan Am Post, is this the end of the Chilean economic miracle? So that's the question we're going to be posing today, and I want Axel to answer that one for us. So, Axel, thanks so much for joining us all the way over in Europe.
Hey, thanks to you for the invitation. I'm very glad to be with you.
Excellent. Now, that is the big question. Like I said, the headline, which you wrote before the election, and then it passed, and the result was dominant. I think the new president of this socialist coalition received, I think, 60% of the second round vote, so very dominant. Does it mean what you suggested it might mean a few months ago?
Well, yes and no. On the one hand, she did really get a very, very large support from the people who went voting. But we cannot forget that most people did not go to voting on the last election. So around it's over 50% of potential voters didn't go to the polls.
Why is that? What is going on in that scenario? Because I read that too, that the legitimacy of the election came under great scrutiny afterwards because of such low turnout or participation.
Right. If you take into account all the people that did not vote for Mrs. Bachelet, then you have almost two-thirds of the potential voters. And, well, there are different interpretations, but I believe that most people do not really want a very radical change, which is what she is proposing and her coalition is proposing, a radical change in economic policy, a radical change in the constitution, and so on and so forth. So I don't think people are very enthusiastic about that.
Right. Well, I hope not. Because we talk about rewriting the Chilean constitution, I just think Bolivarian alliance or Bolivarian revolution written all over it. And I don't want that for Chile. It's a really unfortunate trend in Latin America that we have these countries falling into this trap. Now, let's go through a few of these policies. You say radical changes. The rewriting of the Constitution may not go ahead because she doesn't have support, as far as I know, in the legislature to achieve that. But many other policies she does have support for, such as this open admission, universally paid for by taxpayers, higher education. Do you want to clarify if I characterize that correctly and the other policies that are, you could say, the big ticket items?
Yes. I mean, her goal is to open the way to completely free higher education. That means, that means that taxpayers have to pay for that. I mean, that people who benefit from education, that the students who go to university don't have necessarily to pay for it, but all taxpayers, including those people who don't necessarily benefit from higher education, have to pay for it. And this is one of the old aspirations of socialists, which is the idea that education and higher education has to be one of these social goods that anyone can participate in. And from an economic point of view, it's not a smart idea because this is regressive. All people who are in the low-income sectors of the population who don't go to university have to pay the university for people who go there and are usually also the children from higher-income families. So from that perspective, it's not very smart. And on the other hand, it will produce a lot of waste in resources, because you need more bureaucracy to administer all these new schemes, and you send the wrong signals to people who want to go to university, because the minute you have education for free, then you have all these people studying liberal arts degrees, and then they don't get a job, and then you have another social problem. And someone, think about someone who is going to study sociology or political science or something like that. If the guy has to pay every month an amount for his education, he will really think two times before starting something that is not going to be so profitable. But if he does have to pay, then you have all these enlightened unemployed people. That's why we call them. And you have the same problem US, no? You have in the
US.
Yeah,
it's in Canada. It's even worse. It's painful. I want to. In particular, I think this point you made originally is so important. That is that this universal funding of higher education is actually regressive, or it hurts the poor, because even if you make it free, the majority of people who have the time to basically go to university and not work are the wealthier people. And I always say it's like the barber, the hairdresser, paying for someone else to go to college. Folks, you don't want to miss any more of this. This is Axel Kaiser speaking with the Stateless Man. Stay tuned.
Herbal Healer Spring Sale. 500 parts per million colloidal silver, all sizes. COQ10 with hawthorn, glucosamine chondroitin, sea cucumber, colloidal minerals, Superfam and Super Male Plex, colon enhancer, our top selling liquid, Cal Mag Vitamin D, MSM Sulfur Capsules, and Elderberry Power Capsules. We also offer certificate correspondence courses in natural medicine. Free memberships and free online newsletters also available at herbalhealer.com. Herbal Healer has been serving the natural medicine industry for 25 years. This is a company you can count on. Visit herbalhealer.com today. Herbalhealer.com. That's herbalhealer.com.
Whew. Nice shooting. Hey, that's a sweet AK-47 chest rig. Is that multicam?
Yep, got it from StrikeHardGear.com.
Strike what?
StrikeHardGear.com.
Set your sights on StrikeHardGear.com. Tough, tactical gear for your Soviet-style weapon that's made in the USA. Affordable, plus a no-questions-asked 30-day money-back guarantee and lifetime replacement warranty. StrikeHardGear.com. Go ahead, pull the trigger.
There are many water filters to choose from, but there is only one system that is consistently customer rated 5 stars as the number one system for effective filtration of fluoride, radiation, drug residues, heavy metals, a wide range of radioisotopes, and more. Introducing the PureFect Ultra, the next generation water filter that also raises alkaline pH, improves antioxidant potential, and has advanced anti-radiation technology. All while using no electricity. Sold worldwide, it provides virtually instant clean water on demand. It is not made in China, and the shipping is free to all 50 states. Buy your PureFect Ultra today by visiting PureFectFilters.com or call 888-891-4821. Again, that's 888-891-4821 or visit PureFectFilters.com.
RBN is having the end-of-the-year pledge drive. To encourage listener support, for donations of $100 or more, you get an RBN coffee mug and a T-shirt. You can mail your donation to Republic Broadcasting Network, 2251 Double Creek Drive, Suite 302, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. You can donate online through PayPal or make a donation via phone by calling 800-724-2719. All donations are greatly appreciated and needed. Please make a donation today.
No dark sarcasm in the classroom.
Welcome back to The Stateless Man. We're pursuing Liberty Beyond Borders. We have Axel Kaiser, the founder of the Foundation for Progress in Chile. He's actually speaking to us from over in Germany right now, and we're discussing the troubling trend that Chile is basically letting go or rejecting its legacy as the beacon for freedom in Latin America. And we've got plenty of material on it. His own article is this the end of the Chilean economic miracle? And that's a challenging question. I don't want to think it's the end entirely, but he's explaining more detail. One particular policy that suggests that there is, you could say, there are bumps in the road ahead is that this strong push for, quote, universal or, quote, free higher education, which does, it is a regressive policy. It hurts the poor because they're the ones not going. They're having to pay higher taxes to pay for wealthy people who tend to go to university. It's a bit like people who claim that tax credits for housing helps poor people get houses. Well, who actually owns the houses? The wealthy people, not the poor people. So they get the benefits. It's a similar problem here. Now, Axel, do you want to just expand on that point as to what other policies or what other plans are going ahead in Chile that give you cause for concern?
Well, she's planning to dramatically raise taxes on corporations, which is another way of getting into consumers' pockets, because we know that taxes on profits are being paid, and it's the consumer who pay them
in the end.
And she wants also to heavily regulate several sectors of the economy. She wants, some people in her coalition want to put an end to the independence of the central bank. Others want to make a constitutional reform so that private property is not as strongly protected as it is now, and it performs a stronger, you know, social function, whatever that means. And
right.
There are several other ideas which all points into the direction of increasing the size of the state, of the government. This idea of social rights, basically. So it's a way of, taking more money out of the pockets of the people and putting it into the hands of politicians so they can, you know, bribe the people with their own money. And this is not going to end up well, because we had this system before the 1980s and 1970s. And
right.
This huge welfare state ended up in a complete collapse. So the problem is this fiscal responsibility that we have had so far in these last 20 years, it's also endangered because of all these new giveaways the government is promising. And this is very, very sensitive for a small economy like the Chilean one. And yes, it's not going to be the win for Chile in 4 years. I hope not, at least, but the trend is very dangerous, and if once politicians start doing this and they understand that they get only elected when they promised people benefits, then it's over with the sound economy.
Yeah,
you can see that everywhere.
Yeah, I was looking at the campaigns in El Salvador actually, and my summary is everyone gets a pony. That seems to be the campaign tactic of everybody, that just vote for me and you get Christmas gifts or whatever handouts we can give to you. And this to me really points to a problem with the mentality of people. And you note that perhaps this doesn't reflect most people in Chile, but here in the United States, even in New Zealand, if someone was part of the quote Communist Party, I don't think any such coalition could get elected. But apparently, people in Chile have accepted that. And I say that independent, free people don't go around putting their hands out, asking for giveaways, asking for free things. They have some pride, and they want to take care of themselves. Do you want to speak about the culture or mentality, the prevailing views in Chile?
Well, we are not that different from the rest of Latin American countries. And, you know, if you convince people that government is there for solving their problems and that to provide them in their necessities, which is a very, very, deeply rooted Latin American tradition.
Yes.
And to some extent, we changed that mentality with the free market revolution in the 70s and 80s, but it's coming back. And of course, this is very, you know, tempting for politicians to do, because that's the way they get reelected. So in Chile, you have more and more people. There are some surveys that show this, that they are losing faith in personal responsibility, and they are increasingly believing that government has to solve their problems. There is still a majority that thinks that everyone is more or less responsible for his own life and so on. But you see in this opinion polls that this philosophy is changing and the way people perceive the role of government is changing. And the problem is that the elites, it's all today in Chile is the consensus among the intellectual elites almost and the political elites that we have to create a massive welfare state. And that's why I'm saying it. This might be the end of the Chilean economic miracle because Chile became the most prosperous land in Latin America and one of the role models for the whole developing world. No other country in the world experienced the kind of economic achievements that Chile experienced in the last 30 years. Like we had over 50% poverty. We now have less than 15%. We more than quadruple per capita income and so on and so forth.
Let me just jump in there because you might know that I've been to Chile and it came after a long trip through Latin America. I started in Colombia and bussed all the way down to Santiago, actually. The last one from Arica in the north of Chile to Santiago was a killer, but I got there. And I remember when I arrived in Santiago, this is in 2010, I felt like I was back in the United States, actually, that after seeing the poverty throughout the rest of Latin America, the streets in Santiago, the streets were clean, the people were well clothed. It just had a sense of prosperity. So the difference was just so stark from, say, back in Quito, Ecuador, or even Lima in Peru. So it really has been a wonderful outcome for Chile. And it's so strange to think of people just throwing that away. You know, I'm very confused as to why that happens.
Well, this is a famous disconnect between reality and the intellectual interpretation from reality. And this is something that many libertarian thinkers or classical liberals have written about. Hayek, Friedman, you know. I guess Douglas North also has the best
We are really short on time, actually, so I want to get some thoughts on you. Do you still recommend Chile as a place to go and migrate to?
It depends. It depends in which country you are now.
Because many people here in the United States are looking to Chile. There are many going down. They want to start, you know, Gulch or whatever. There are all these different developments going on down there.
Yeah, I mean, people don't have to get the wrong impression that everything is falling apart, but they also don't have to get the wrong impression that everything is very stable and secure, because we have experienced a dramatic erosion of the rule of law in the last 10 years. Now we have a very active terrorist group in the south, which is destroying property and killing people, and nothing is happening. Government has done nothing.
Whoa.
Yes, maybe you don't read that about that much about.
I'm gonna have to look. Axel, we're gonna be in touch because I want to learn more about that group. We're against the bottom of the hour. If you want to follow Axel, I'm gonna post his Twitter on the Stateless Man Facebook page. Go to facebook.com/thestatelessman. Otherwise, thanks so much for joining us, Axel.
Thanks for the invitation. See.
Excellent.
How important is the air you breathe? Our air purifiers produce activated oxygen, called Aerin. Activated oxygen is the natural enemy of odors, pollutants, and many other harmful substances, yet it's completely safe. Our powerful air purifiers unleash the power of a thunderstorm, destroying pollutants in the air we breathe. It destroys many viruses, bacteria, and fungi, kills molds, and oxidizes chemical fumes and toxic gases. It removes smoke, pollen, and pet odors. Made with quality stainless steel, our portable air purifiers come with a manufacturer's 4-year warranty. If you haven't experienced the Aerin process of fresh, clean air, then call us today and receive 10% off your order. 877-605-9200. Again, that's 877-605-9200. Time for you to breathe clearly again. 877-605-9200.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Are you sneezing, coughing, and aching? Do you have a sore throat, a fever, or the sniffles? There's no reason to be sick this cold and flu season with immune system support from Supernatural Silver. Supernatural Silver can give your body the help it needs to fight off harmful pathogens without hurting beneficial gut flora and without leaving behind resistant bacteria. Antibiotics can damage good microflora and often leave behind bacteria which can cause problems later on. If you're sick of being sick, try Supernatural Silver. Supernatural Silver, the number one choice of thousands for a safe and effective way to protect against the many diseases and illnesses that we are facing today. Go to SupernaturalSilver.com, read our customer reviews, and see the life-changing results that people are having. That's SupernaturalSilver.com. SupernaturalSilver.com. Use the promo code PROTECTED for 20% off your entire order. And like us on Facebook, Supernatural Silver.
Do you flinch when a police car appears in your rearview mirror or you get pulled over? Are you squeamish when an envelope arrives in the mail with a return address of a court, a government agency like the IRS, or some law firm? Would you like to escape government agency harassment? Then visit escapeharassment.com. George Bush allegedly says, the government constitution is nothing but a doggone piece of paper. Well, that's a contract! A contract is an offer acceptance of that offer, at which point a contract arises by law and the offerer can no longer withdraw the offer. We teach, do not accept! That way there is no contract or agreement for you to go to their court or private club meeting. To escape government agency harassment like the IRS, visit escapeharassment.com. This is a tried and proven experienced process, not experimental, with a money-back guarantee that it works and success testimonials from previous students. Remember, escapeharassment.com. That's escapeharassment.com.
Earthquakes, hurricanes, nuclear accidents, terror attacks, and all-out social collapse. With the world today more volatile than ever, the future has never looked more uncertain. Survivalist Magazine is the one resource you can't afford to be without. Claim your free trial subscription now at www.survivalist.com and your first issue ships immediately. Get all the details and more at www.survivalist.com or order by phone. Call 1-866-437-6570. Your survival may depend on it.
Do you have a product or service that you'd like to advertise on the Republic Broadcasting Network? Do you want to support one of the original truth radio networks in existence while getting your company heard across the globe? Right now, RBN is having a holiday special on all of our advertising packages and providing free commercial production to get you started. Call 800-724-2719, extension 111 today. That's 800-724-2719, extension 111, or email powers@republicbroadcasting.org.
Welcome back to The Stateless Man, Pursuing Liberty Beyond Borders. We've just finished speaking with Axel Kaiser about the prospects in Chile, and it is very frustrating often that even in the places where you could say freedom has reigned or given born great fruits, people turn their backs on it. And he was just mentioning the struggles to maintain a semblance of freedom or of prosperity in Chile, and people, including the, quote, intellectual elites, who seem to think they know better and want to plan and control others, they are getting in the way of that. And this leads right into our next topic. But before I get to that, I should note that RBN is having a pledge drive. If you donate $100, you'll receive an RBN t-shirt and an RBN mug or 25 Republic of Texas copper rounds. Just call in. Now, we have a different number for that one, but if you want to call into the regular 1-800 number, and I'm sure they'll put you through, it is 1-800-313-9443. But if you want to, yes, but right next up we have a guy called Joel Hurst, and he's originally from the United States. The producer is just letting me know the number right now. If you want to donate to RBN, this great network, which I'm glad to be broadcasting with, it is 1-800 724-2719. Yeah, so we are moving on to Joel Hurst now. He is originally from the United States, but he's actually over in Africa right now in, let me get this place. I lose track. He's obviously a man, an international man in Bamako. Now, Bamako, I hope I'm pronouncing this correct, is in Mali. That is a long way from here. But we're going to be speaking about Venezuela, actually, in his book on the matter, which is the, let me get the full title up here. It is The Lieutenant of San Porfirio. And this is a fiction, a novel, a work of fiction, but it plays into, or you could say explains, the reality that is Venezuela right now, which is a terrible one. And I discussed this last week. I just got back last night. And as I stayed longer, more and more bad things came to my knowledge. I witnessed a mugging firsthand on my first trip to downtown. I only went on one. I don't think I want to go back to downtown Caracas at all because it seems like you're just a sitting duck. And then I also learned that a friend of mine who is college educated in the United States is working for under $100 a month. If you're working for under $100 a month, as far as I'm concerned, you've reached the standards of Cuba in terms of economic prosperity. That's just a terrible indictment upon the state of Venezuela. But I don't want to get too distracted. Joel, thanks for coming to The Stateless Man, and let's get right into your book.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Right, so you've lived off and on in Venezuela for about 7 years, and I hope that's correct. And
yeah,
you wrote this book. It's in Spanish and English. I assume you wrote it in English first, correct?
Correct. I wrote it in English, and then we had it translated into Spanish by Editorial Grito Sagrado in Argentina, Buenos Aires, who is incidentally the publisher for all of Ayn Rand's work in Spanish.
Whoa. Okay. I did not know Ayn Rand had a big following in Spanish, but I do know
that. A big following in a bunch of languages.
that's great. I do know at Universidad Francisco Marroquín in Guatemala, it's required reading. So they're intense at that university. So this one, Lieutenant of San Porfirio, and we do have a review up on the Pan Am Post. I think, I actually think I've not read the book. I will admit that, although, Marcela Estrada, one of our reporters and translators, did read it. I think, and from her review, I got the sense that you were seeking to perhaps explain the conflicting ideologies and why this is prevailing and why even the destructive outcomes just seem to dissuade nobody almost.
Right. You know, some situations that you live through are just so, you know, on the one hand, they're so bizarre, it's hard to believe that, you know, things are happening the way they are, but at the same time, they're so deadly serious because, like you mentioned, they affect the daily lives of real people. There's such a phenomenon that, you know, the best way to communicate this is with fiction. Spanish language, coming from prior to the Latin American boom, but making its heyday in the Latin American boom, has got the genre. It's a whole new genre called the Latin American dictator novel, where they're protest novels and they're people, individuals, artists, authors trying to express what they're seeing and what they're experiencing through the form of fiction. And so this is for the first dictator novel written. They've historically been written about the military dictatorships of the 70s and the 80s. This is the first one written about the new dictatorships, the new left-wing, if you will, socialist dictatorships. Venezuela, Cuba, of course, but also, you know, Bolivia, Nicaragua, Ecuador, etc. So certainly Argentina.
Mm. And let me say one thing that I think we can be clear or confident that this Chavismo or Bolivarian socialism, whatever you want to call this movement, which is spreading like a virus, unfortunately, didn't just appear spontaneously. There are reasons, good reasons, for why there was maybe resentment or envy that grew into political movement that became very violent and ruthless, as far as I'm concerned. Do you want to touch upon, you could say, the roots of this Bolivarian socialist movement?
Yeah, and that's one of the reasons I wrote the novel, was because there is another side to the story, and while we don't agree with it, we understand it, and there are legitimate grievances. I mean, the Latin American economic system has really never been free market capitalist. It's been at best crony capitalist, and that was Venezuela for 40 years. And so you had an elite group of people using the political system to control the economy of a nation. And they were able to do this until the poor realized that there was more of them and there was less of the rich people, and they were able to vote redistribution of other people's illegitimately obtained assets. You know, they were controlling the big banks and the mining industries, etc. So, you know, unfortunately, it's not as black and white. And that's what I try to do in the novel, is I try to give every character, and there's four main characters from four, and they're unique characters, and they're emblematic of four different segments of the debate on what's going on in Venezuela. But I try to give them all personality, and I try to make them all real people. There's no villains in this novel. Everybody has got a legitimate rationale, and even if you don't agree with what they're saying, you can sort of understand why they're doing what they're doing, and then how then that leads them into other sorts of activities in sort of a slippery slope, like we've all seen.
One of the elements was just so fascinating to me, and I guess this is what you're explaining too, is just the way that evidence, I hate to say it, doesn't even seem to matter. You know, I work with the Pan Am Post, and we have a ton of content on Venezuela and Cuba. And it doesn't seem, there just seems to be no persuading some people. It's weird. It's very strange the way that we can say that the inflation, the real inflation rate in Venezuela is now in excess of 300%, and the real exchange rate is one-tenth the value of the official exchange rate. And yet, the stream of comments we receive are almost just attacking us as some imperialists or something like that, just for speaking the truth.
Yeah,
I don't really.
No,
go ahead.
No, you know, Hayek used to call them secondhand dealers in ideas, those who have the greatest moral hazard in relation to these types of things, those whose decisions do not impact their everyday life. And you see these peddling support for the socialists all over, and it's almost a utopic thing, and in some cases it's admirable, and in some cases it's merely a power grab. What happens is though, most of the people who support these types of movements, they're utopic, they don't have any horse in the race, and they're intellectuals, and they're folks who are guaranteed via, you know, their own incomes, their lifestyle, but be it by music or by, you know, art or whatever, so they don't have to live with the consequences of the decisions made by these ridiculous authoritarian regimes, and then so they keep promoting them, and they keep promoting them and supporting them, hoping that this is going to be the one that works. We've seen this happen for 100 years. This is not new. You know, it happened in the Soviet Union. It happened. This time we're going to get it right. We're going to get the planning. We're going to tweak the planning process just right, where we're going to usher in a new utopia into the world.
Right. Joel, hold that thought, buddy. I was speaking with Joel Hurst, author of the Lieutenant of San Porfirio. You don't want to miss any more of his discussion or explanation of what is going on in Venezuela right now. This is The Stateless Man.
World-renowned physician and stem cell expert Dr. David Steenblok, D.O., and his research staff have spent years developing all-natural formulations that support the body's own stem cell production and mobilization system. An everyday stem cell supplement, creating the birth of Stemgevity. Stemgevity stem cell mobilization formula is for use by men, women, and children of all ages to support your body's stem cell system naturally, quickly, and safely. Stemgevity helps support your heart and circulatory system, bones and joints, liver, skin, brain, and much more. Order your bottle now at Stemgevity.com today. That's Stemgevity, Stemgevity.com. Or call now toll-free, 800-300-1063. Buy two bottles and receive a third bottle free by mentioning RBN. Anyone who wants to get healthy needs Stemgevity.
Call 800-300-1063 today.
Are you sneezing, coughing, and aching? Do you have a sore throat, a fever, or the sniffles? There's no reason to be sick this cold and flu season with immune system support from Supernatural Silver. Supernatural Silver can give your body the help it needs to fight off harmful pathogens without hurting beneficial gut flora and without leaving behind resistant bacteria. Antibiotics can damage good microflora and often leave behind bacteria which can cause problems later on. If you're sick of being sick, try Supernatural Silver. Supernatural Silver, the number one choice of thousands for a safe and effective way to protect against the many diseases and illnesses that we are facing today. Go to SupernaturalSilver.com, read our customer reviews, and see the life-changing results that people are having. That's SupernaturalSilver.com. SupernaturalSilver.com. Use the promo code PROTECTED for 20% off your entire order. And like us on Facebook, Supernatural Silver.
This is Dr. Robert Rowan here to give you an important message regarding stem cell treatment. World-renowned physician, stem cell expert, and friend Dr. David Steinblatt has performed over 8,000 stem cell treatments since 2001. Bone marrow stem cells are completely legal to do here in the USA. The bone marrow stem cell treatment is not only fast, done in less than 2 to 3 hours, but is relatively pain-free and has little to no recovery time. Dr. David Steinblatt and his office are able to help and treat patients who suffer from cerebral palsy, traumatic brain injury, stroke, macular degeneration, arthritis, Parkinson's disease, congestive heart failure, and more. Personally using their services for my knee and seeing great improvement, Dr. David Steinblatt is highly recommended by me. Go to stemcellmd.org or call 800-300-1063 to find out more. Again, stemcellmd.org or call 800-300-1063 today to receive more information.
I'm Larry Pratt of Gun Owners of America, and I want to invite you to join the Second Amendment movement with Gun Owners of America, the only no-compromise gun lobby in Washington. Take action by becoming a GOA member today by going to gunowners.org. Gun Owners members receive the GOA newsletter, fact sheets, alerts, certificates, and more. But there's more to joining GOA than just a list of member benefits. The united voice of GOA members has been successful in defeating restrictive legislation designed to disarm our population. GOA has helped get strong constitutional members of Congress like Senator Ted Cruz elected. And with your help, GOA will continue to successfully defend the rights of gun owners in the courts. Participate in our efforts to restore and preserve the nation's right to keep and bear arms. All contributions to our lobbying efforts are used exclusively to support or oppose firearms legislation. Join online at gunowners.org.
This is The Stateless Man. We're pursuing liberty beyond borders. That is international living, financial independence, and personal sovereignty. We have an international man on the line, Joel Hurst. He's over in Mali, Africa, or Bamako in Mali, Africa right now. But he's written a book, The Lieutenant Osan Porfirio, on Venezuela, both in Spanish and English, and in Spanish, El Teniente de San Porfirio. Now, I was just looking through the review here written by Marcela Estrada, and it tells the story of a political revolution in a fictitious country called the Revolutionary Socialist Republic of Venezuela, but it's not such fiction given its insights on the situation there right now, and it is of the magic realism genre. Now, I want to just give a few more thoughts from him on the book and what insights it provides, and then I want to get on to discussing how he became an international man and what, you know, what has led to this story, whether you can share insights on that. But do you want to say, well, we discussed before about how often the discussions or insights just don't sway anybody. And did you write this book to persuade people? Or if you did, is anyone actually reading it who isn't already on your side or doesn't really understand your views?
Well, as far as who's reading it, I mean, hopefully a lot of people are reading it. But the reason I did write it was to you know, especially after Chavez died, there's going to be a lot of propaganda films, like, you know, by Oliver Stone, etc., are going to try to tell a story that's not exactly true. So I wanted to tell the version of the story of the version that I lived, that I saw, that I watched, that I experienced, and that my friends.
Let me just put a note there. I've yet to watch this film, but I need to. But Oliver Stone has been a big fan of old Chavez, and I don't quite get it. But he has produced a major film. I don't have it before me right now, defending the Bolivarian Revolution. Do you want to comment on what misconceptions he may hold? Because we can assume he believes what he's doing. He believes in it. He maybe is just misguided.
Well, again, I think it's back to what we talked about last time. I mean, there's a certain amount of disingenuousness coming from Hollywood regarding some of these movements in South America and other places. I mean, they assume that what is being provided by these crony authoritarian leaders is good enough for the people of Venezuela, where it's something that they themselves would never stand for. I mean, like you mentioned before, $100 a month.
Less than $100 a month. And these are educated people, English speakers, bilingual.
Most people of the educated folks have fled, and those who have stayed are having to do second jobs like drive taxis, because inflation takes away, you know, gets in front of any sort of a raise that they can have. And all the government jobs, which is the massive bloated government bureaucracy, are given to supporters of the regime. So it's difficult for an independent person to find their way through. All these types of things are something that they would never support in the U.S. or in the Western world, but yet for some reason is okay for folks, you know, south of the border, which is exactly what the Stone
let me just touch on that briefly, actually, because when I was in New Zealand in 2008 at university, we had one of the PR people from the Chavez regime come to New Zealand to promote what was going on there. And even back then, I was very suspicious as to this whole movement, and that these people were really respectful of freedom of the press. But you would have been amazed as to how many people came out of the woodwork and were just gushing over this Venezuelan representative. They're just like, oh, we're in power now. The socialists are ruling. This is great. And I just don't think they wanted to have their hopes vanquished. What sort of initial reaction have you got in the popular press? I mean, I know we wrote an article about it, and I think it was a wonderful review. What other responses have you received? I've seen one video interview.
Yeah, I've done video interviews on, you know, on NTN, and on I did one on CNN Espanol, and I did one on West America, etc. You know, the historically the arts or the arena of literature has belonged belonged to the left, has belonged to those who would support this type of project, which is why you don't see a lot of folks writing about this. And so on the side of those who believe in liberty, people are happy to see that we're also fighting back with our own books, our own.
It is rising more. You know, obviously Ayn Rand was, you could say, the big name from way back who did this. But I've seen it more and more of these works of fiction being promoted at pro liberty conferences. So yeah, it is a wonderful development.
So the publisher is Grito Sagrado, but the biggest liberty publisher in Spanish is a group called Unión Editorial out of Spain, and they have just co-sponsored this book along with Grito Sagrado and put it in, because they have an entirely new publishing strain that they call Atlas Libertas, which is novels and literature about liberty. Mostly they publish works of Hayek and Mayer and everybody, but now they're and this is the second book in that. In that new sub-publishing, if you will, for books of literature. So I think that people are starting to realize the importance of also telling our story and allowing us an opportunity to use fiction and literature and art to be able to also challenge the perceptions that we're these sort of cold, heartless, capitalists is the way that they describe us.
That is really unfortunate, because in my view, you and I, we're not powerful people, right? We're basically commentators. And many people have this image of us as being in these big corporate offices with views of, you know, Boston or New York or something. you know, plotting to, you know, plunder Venezuela or something, I'm going, that's not it at all. Like, we have no power. The people with power are the ones actually plundering the country right now. But, well,
the,
so,
and the problem is that people have the socialists have succeeded in making the case that capitalism and crony capitalism are the same thing. So when we try to explain the nuances of why free market capitalism is not what you see on Wall Street or some of these, it just completely falls on deaf ears. Like you say, the people who use political power to achieve economic gains does not have a party. I mean, whether it's they love to call sort of the right fascist or left social, it's the same thing. It's people who believe they can use political power to manipulate their success economically. And we believe that, you know, we're the exact opposite of that. And that's the challenge of explaining to people, because it's nuanced and you can't fit it on a bumper sticker.
It is very unfortunate too, because people think that the United States is capitalism or freedom or something like that, but in my view, it is cronyism. It is really it's become terribly corrupt. And so when they think that this is the shining city on the hill, the example they're going to lead to, I'm going, no, that's not the end of the road. That's not the end of the story at all. So here in the United States, we sometimes the country does feed off those perceptions or misunderstandings about cronyism versus capitalism. Now, you are over, I know we've got a couple of minutes to go, and I just wanted to get your thoughts on how long have you been living outside of the United States, and whether what wisdom do you have for young people considering going out and living abroad as you have?
The reason I decided to go abroad, I started as an aide, I'm still working in that area, but I started as a relief worker back in the day about 15 years ago, working in civil wars like in Congo and Kosovo, etc., because... You know, we in the U.S., despite all the flaws of America and all the challenges that we have, we're still the most prosperous, most successful nation that has ever existed. And
sure.
That comes with responsibility as well, is trying to use that economic advantage and the propaganda advantage, the advantage of our story. I mean, more than just the money, the vision of America inspires people. It's a land of opportunity. It's a place where you can, with your own entrepreneurship, become rich. I mean, if you look across Africa, where I am right now, through all of the regulations and all of the corruption and all of the ignorance and the lack of opportunity to actually create for yourself, and people see America as this land where they can, you know, with hard work, they really can build themselves
succeed.
A middle class.
Yeah.
And that's what I, you know, so I've always thought that's been my role, is to figure out how to do my best. And because I have the opportunity to fight for those who maybe don't have the opportunity to fight for themselves, to seek out and find sort of those, you know, President George H.W. Bush talked about 1,000 points of light, you know, seeking out those points of light and fanning them and helping them glow brighter so that they can be the motors of and become the engines of their own civilization and their own well-being and prosper and building
right.
prosperous nations for their own people. So that's what I've been doing.
Joel, we are hard against the break, top of the hour. I really appreciate your time. His book is The Lieutenant of San Porfirio. Go to facebook.com/thesailorsman for a link to that. Joel, I'm really pleased we can be in touch. I appreciate the work you've done. Thanks so much for coming on the show.
Yeah, thanks so much for the opportunity. Have a good day.
Stay tuned, folks.